Luann?
I was socializing with the people.
Trustees, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome. Good evening. I'd like to call the Tuesday, March 12th, 2024 regular meeting of the Hillsborough City School District to order at 6:01. I want to welcome, we have some members of the public here this evening. Welcome, we're happy you're here. We will be following our agenda, which is posted above. That was posted Friday publicly, and we follow that along. After each agenda item, there will be an opportunity for the public to make a comment on that item, and we'll ask that you make your comment from the podium so it can be captured by our recording. And then if you have a comment for an item that is not on tonight's agenda, there will be an opportunity later in the evening, and we'll call that out and give kind of the blurb and instructions at that point. So, Dr. Carla Manuel, will you please do a roll call?
Happily.
Okay.
Thank you, Board President Olive. Trustee Y.
Here.
Trustee Dannis.
Here.
Trustee Geddes.
Present.
Trustee Olive.
Present.
And Trustee Ann Wong Chen is absent from this meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's begin with the salute to the flag. Please stand. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1.2, approval of the agenda. Trustees, any updates to the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Dawn, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? None. Agenda passes unanimously. Item 1.3, approval of the minutes from February 13th, 2024. Trustees, any corrections to the minutes? Any motion?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second?
I'll second.
A motion by Dawn, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Let's move to item 2, regular reports. 2.1, Hillsborough Teachers Association. Alec, welcome.
Hello, everybody. Is this on?
This is on.
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge...
Thank you, Alec. Item 2.2, CSEAD is out this evening, so we will move along to APG on item 2.3, Jamie Harris.
I don't have a ton of updates. We had a great speaker on about that. I think it'll be very worthwhile to our community members to be sharing this information. And
thank you, Jamie. The Unwiring Parent and Student event was very well received. I've heard a lot of great feedback, not only from parents and guardians, but from the students that were in attendance. So, great. Let's move to item 2.4, Hillsborough Schools Foundation. Cindy.
HSF, where do I begin? So first, our dinner dance. Thank you to everyone here. I saw a lot of your faces at the event. I think over.
Thank you, Cindy. Those, the participation numbers at those high levels are pretty remarkable. And can you just clarify when you said Crocker bonfire, just so the public sounds very hot.
So it's at Ocean Beach, uh-huh. Bonfire and s'mores, and you come parent and child, and a bunch of Crocker families and some teachers are organizing it, but it will be a bonfire at Ocean Beach.
Awesome. Not on the field here.
Not
no. Okay. Got it.
Water.
Okay. Thank you. Item 2.5, Superintendent's Report. Luann.
Great. Thank you. Again, just a shout out to all the dinner dance folks. It takes more than a village to pull off something like that. And Erin Schaefer, Courtney Bocci, just amazing. Alicia and her team, they're just troopers. So it was a great night. And just a wonderful celebration of the Hillsborough community. So thank you. It was fantastic. Measure H update. We've been busy behind the scenes with a lot of different construction items. You'll hear Larry Raffo is going to talk about our heating and air conditioning and the work coming up this summer and next summer. And excited about the work happening for the West multipurpose room. That work's proceeding, and the same with the Crocker multipurpose room. And just as a reminder, we won't start construction on the Crocker multipurpose room until summer 2025. So just an FYI on that, but just a lot of moving parts and a lot of exciting work happening with Measure H, and heartfelt thanks to our community for supporting the bond measure. So we will continue to message out on that. And then just a shout out, we had a lot of school events happen over the course of just the last 10 days. We had the Crocker Science Fair, the South STEAM Expo, the West STEAM Fair, the North Change for Change Marketplace. So it was just a lot of different activities going on. We have the West Talent Show coming up Thursday night. So I'll be in attendance there. And it's just a wonderful, I feel like it's a celebration of student ingenuity, like just really creative thinking and really, really awesome science fair projects, or I guess STEAM fair projects. They were fantastic. Just a shout out to Bhavna and Matthew and really our whole leadership team. We had a training on universal design for learning, which was wonderful. Casey Knudsen was here. And then we also had a training looking at our co-teaching models. And Bhavna was able to take some elementary folks and head to Los Altos and take a look at co-teaching there. We've had this really wonderful experience at Crocker. And so it's kind of extending the love. And so a lot of work happening there, and that was fantastic. Today, all three of our elementary sites did kindergarten tours. Thanks to Trustee Olaf for doing a lot of the graphics and getting out the word and really helping us to kind of organize those events. I think there's going to be interest in a little TK one, so we'll be in touch on that. But thank you to the parents who participated. It was really, really well, a lot of folks were in attendance, so we're happy about that and just getting out the word about our program. So thank you to the principals and our staff. Essential outcomes. Lisa Ayer actually sent me the original outcome, the essential outcomes from 1992-1993. So I have those in hand, and I'll share them with our essential outcomes team. They seem to kind of go through a refresh about every 10 years, so it's time. We have a small group of educators and folks meeting and just looking at our essential outcomes and updating them, making them a little bit more relevant for our students today, and we will continue to update you on that, but it's really been great work. Trustee Olaf and Trustee Y are on that committee, and it's been great conversations about our essential outcomes and just looking at those. And then our assessed property values, Antoinette will put it up there, a little bump, 3.99, but again, we continue to look for growth in that area. And just as a reminder, the Measure H newsletters can be found on the district website, as can all my Friday newsletters. So I think that's it. How does that look? Yeah. Okay. It's not the worst ever, but we'd like to see it look a little bit better. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Do any trustees have questions or comments on the regular reports you've heard?
Let's try that again. Trustees, any comments on the regular reports? No. Do any members of the public have a comment or question on the regular reports you've heard this evening? Seeing none, we will move on to item three, current business. Item 3.1, report discussion and possible action on the purchase of HVAC equipment from Ascent HVAC for the HVAC and roofing project at North and West Schools.
Alrighty. That's a mouthful. So Larry Raffo, our everything person in the district here, is going to give us information on the projects that's coming up this summer, right? So the heating and air conditioning units, and really we're asking for the board's approval for the purchase of this equipment for North and West HVAC replacement project. And previously, or earlier this year, we want to be sure that we bring these big ticket items to the board in open session so that everybody is in the loop on how we are spending our Measure H money. Coming up, we're going to hear a report from Alan Rittenberg about our Citizens Bond Oversight Committee that oversees our bond measure. So, Larry, if you could give us a little background, and then I ask for the trustees' approval on this agenda item.
Well, one of the bond projects is to replace roofs and provide new heating and air conditioning systems in all of our schools. We decided after reviewing all of the schools that the two schools that needed roof replacement the most were schools West and North. Because the heating and air conditioning units that are being replaced, and as far as air conditioning will be added to the schools, we decided to do West and North first. So this summer we'll be providing heating, air conditioning, and new roofing at both West School and North School. And the work will begin right after school gets out and is scheduled to be completed before students return in the fall. The item before you tonight is to approve the purchase of the HVAC equipment that will be needed at both North and West. We reviewed various types of equipment that could be used. We've had consultations with electrical engineers, mechanical engineers. Ron Russo, who wasn't able to be here tonight, was instrumental in the involvement in the decision to be as to what products would be best for the schools. And the measure before you tonight is to approve the purchase of that equipment. We are recommending that we use a CMAS contract, which will provide the district with the best cost savings that we can get at this particular time. By using CMAS contract, we would have better lead times. There's better competitive pricing. There's product assurance, and there's a reduced cost by eliminating a lot of contractor markups. So we're recommending that we use the CMAS contract for the purchase. The cost at this particular time for North School, $501,628. And West School HVAC will be $494,780. For a grand total for this particular project, this half of the project, $1,089,821.25. I don't know where that came from, but if you're short, I can provide that. Anyway, that is the measure that, that is the proposal before you tonight, and we would request that you approve that so we can make the purchase of that equipment for West and North.
Thank you, Larry. Trustees, any questions or comments? Any members of the public? Okay. If you want to come, just come up to the podium so we can hear you come around. And if you could state your name, and then you have 3 minutes to address the board. Thank you.
My name is Andrew Ludomirsky. I'm a South parent, so I feel slightly odd talking about a North and West HVAC. But for better or for worse, I've learned a lot about HVAC over the last several years. This looks like a totally reasonable system, except that I'm a little bit concerned that everyone forgot air filtration in an era of fairly frequent wildfires and people caring about what's in the air. It's nice to have good filtration. It's also exceedingly inexpensive to put a high-quality air filter into a brand new HVAC system, and it's really phenomenally expensive to retrofit it in once it's already built because you have to leave this much room. I pulled this spec. I don't see any. There's only two air filters called out on this list, and those are MERV 4, which is a category of filter where why even bother? It removes like visible lint and nothing. The units that are called out, as far as I can tell from the manufacturer's specs, call for those cheap and crappy 1-inch filters from Home Depot that need to be replaced all the time because they clog, and they're also not terribly effective. I think you should do, I think the board or whoever's doing this should consider, either as a revision or a change order, upgrading to a MERV 16 system, which the same manufacturer makes. I don't know how they're planning on configuring it, but the version that I priced out was a grand total of $175 times the number of units, but it needs to be physically placed into the system at the time of construction. Doing this may actually save operating costs because if you imagine a filter that's this big, all the dust that gets in it clogs it really quickly. When the filter is this big, it has more space, and so you don't have to change them as often. And just doing that by itself will improve the indoor air quality drastically.
Thank you so much for your comment. Luann, you do want to answer?
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that. And yes, especially during COVID, we heightened attention to all of this. So actually, Larry, did you want to address that or?
I don't have that kind of documentation with me, so I hesitate to address it.
I can address it. I just want to be sure because Larry's kind of the know-all of everything.
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me, so I don't want to do
all of the systems that we are, code requires that they are a minimum of MERV 13. So the units that we're purchasing, I just checked with our contractor, are MERV 13. I think you had mentioned MERV 16. Excuse me, hang on one second. Yeah. So anyway, I just want to let you know, I just got confirmation that we can get them to 13, but you're saying 16 is the better, actually, I'm so sorry. But anyway, code does require that we have to have MERV 13. If we want to upgrade to MERV 16, we can look at that.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate your feedback. And if we can get some additional information, we will. Thank you. Do any other members of the public have a comment on our HVAC proposal? Luann?
Sorry, it's just me again. But whatever units we are purchasing, they come with MERV 13. So I just confirm that with our contractor. 13. They come with 13 standard.
Do any trustees have any comments or questions before we move?
I just wanted to quickly thank our member of the public for a very constructive comment.
Thank Absolutely. You. Thank you so much. Okay. Would any trustee like to make a motion?
I move to approve the purchase of HVAC equipment for North and West School.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. A motion by Don, second by Greg. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
And thanks, Luann, for your comments. Item 3.2, report and discussion from the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee regarding the 22-23 fiscal year and presentation of audits for Measure H. So we have Joyce.
Actually, I'm going to introduce Alan
Ritterberg,
okay, the chairperson for our Measure H Citizens Bond Oversight Committee.
Welcome, Alan.
There we go. I'm Alan Rittenberg. I'm the chairperson of the committee. And I just briefly wanted to go through the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee report. If we could go to page 3, actually. So the first page was a lovely photo. The second are the members. I think the meat of the issue is this page, which describes the statutory purpose of the committee. We're at an interesting point. We're giving a report on 22-23 when there was very little in terms of expenditures left. Most of the bond funding had been done, and so the report doesn't show much. The interesting part for those of us who are on the committee will be this coming year as we start to see expenditures and as we begin to perform our role. Essentially, our role is to ensure the public that the expenditures are being done for the proper purposes, that no funds are used for teachers or administration, and to alert the public on any improper expenditures. I think the thing we've had to clarify, and I may be wrong, but I think I'm the only holdover from the last, from the previous board, is that our role is not to tell the board what to do, to comment on what to do. We are the after the fact that looks at the expenses, that works with the audit companies for the audit company for financial audit and a performance audit. That is our function. And so again, I think most of our activity will be in the next couple of years. If we could move forward one slide. So as I mentioned, ultimately the board has the responsibility for the allocation of resources. The oversight is done by an outside accounting firm, by Chavin and Associates, and they do both a performance audit and a financial audit. The results of those are included in the package that was put out. There were no exceptions to it. The Citizens Bond Oversight Committee reviews those reports. We look at the expenditures that have been made, and probably the most exciting thing is we're promised we get to do some site visits. So I think we're at the point now the board is basically, the committee is basically ramping up. We haven't had a whole lot of activity. It now begins, as you see, with the heating and air conditioning projects are beginning that are using the bond funds that from the bond that was recently passed. So at this point, we have a display with on the next slide showing the expenditures that are going to happen, but again, it's very early in the process. I would ask the board at this time, in light of the fact that the performance audit was returned with no findings, as was the financial audit, that the board move to approve the report of the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee.
Thank you so much, Alan. Any trustees have a comment or question? Don.
Just wanted to thank Alan for your work on the previous bond and staying to continue with this one. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I just want to thank you for holding us accountable and making sure we're being good stewards of the bond money and being transparent. And this is an action item. So, public comment. Does anyone from the public have a comment on this audit report on Measure H-2223? Seeing none, now I would love a motion.
I move to accept the 2223 Measure H bond audit report.
I'll second.
Thank you. Motion by Don, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And before we move on, I have a quick little goodie for Alan.
I'm just going to add, as Trustee Olaf goes up there, we're just very appreciative for volunteering Alan. He's been awesome on these committees, and they do take a bit of time, and he's just held strong. So thank you so much for your work on this. We really appreciate it, Alan. Thank you.
Okay, let's move to item 3.3, proposed 2024-2025 board meeting dates. Luann.
Great, thank you. Every year we bring the board meeting dates to our trustees for approval. I actually shared these with Anna to be sure that she didn't have any conflicts with the dates. And when we pick these dates, some of them get moved around a little bit because we're trying to avoid any major religious holidays. And we're also looking at just timing around the start of the school year and how we can best navigate these dates. So I bring this list to you. We can update it if we find that there's a conflict later on in the year. Anna can update it with you. But for now, Anna feels like all these dates will work for her, and hopefully they will all work for you. And I ask for your approval.
Do any trustees have any comments on the date? Greg?
Did you check with Ann?
Oh, yes, yes. Trustee Wong Chen, yes. Okay. Checked with her also.
Thank you. Any other comments from the trustees? Any questions or comments from the public on the board dates for next year? I see none. Are we ready for a motion? Gilbert.
Yeah, I move we approve the proposed Board of Trustees meeting dates for 2024-2025.
Second.
Thank you. Motion by Gilbert, second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Move to item 3.4, the 2023-24 second interim budget revisions with Joyce. I know it was pretty. Thank you so much, Joyce. Trustees, any questions? Don.
Thank you for your work, Joyce. And I just have a comment. I know you know, and I know, but for the benefit of the public, earlier tonight, Al McKenzie reported the great news that the district settled with the teachers union, HTA, for this current school year that we're in the middle of. And that's what this budget is for as well, right? 23-24 school year budget. That settlement is retroactive to June 1st?
July 1st.
And I just want to clarify that your budget and the numbers you have here does not include that settlement from last night.
It does not. I have to do a public disclosure. I have to calculate the cost and then come to this board and then public before I can put in the books.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Gilbert?
Yeah. I guess we'll be useful when we come up, because we're coming up again on budget, planning time pretty soon, is to get a sense for what our OPEB obligations are going to be relative to how much we've been putting in, because that's a question we come up to every year in terms of we want to put 40,000 or not. So I want to get a sense, I think, as I recall in the past, it's like we should have this much money set aside. And so I kind of want to encourage you ahead of time to kind of to do a little research so we know what that number is, because I'll be interested in seeing what that number is, because these two lines are kind of coming across pretty soon. So I think.
Which two lines are you talking about?
How much we're putting away and how much we have.
For Fund 20?
Yeah.
OPEB?
Yeah, OPEB.
OPEB, right now we pay retirees about $215,000 a year, but this is ongoing. And as more people retire, we have the cost there. The idea for Fund 20 is to set up a trust fund so that, and then the interest itself is going to be enough for us to pay that amount. So that way, if retiree cost does not come out of the general fund as it does right now. That was the goal. And then we are moving along slowly. When I first started, there was a plan, but then the board decided to pause it. And we had a plan, that calculation, based on if we get any deficit or surplus, we calculate how much we set aside, but we kind of suspended that plan, decided to put $35,000 into Fund 20 every year, and we have not changed that. So Fund 20 is still growing. Hopefully, we'll come to the point the fund is big enough that we can just use it to sustain the retiree benefits that we pay out of the general fund every year. That's the goal.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great.
Joyce, I'm trying to remember on the unfunded liability. There's an audit every 2 years or 3 years where we receive a report on that.
Which one?
The unfunded liability and the projections.
Every two years. Yeah, so.
And when is that due?
This year. After we finish this fiscal year, we'll be starting.
So we'll get a new report.
We use a consultant to do the actuarial study. The report will be good for 2 years. So we'll calculate it for 2 years.
So we'll get new information?
Yeah, in the fall.
Okay. One other question. I'm just curious, and I'm not trying to stump you, but on the CalPERS rates and the CalSTRS rates, what is generally the percentage for the rest of the stuff? Workers' comp, unemployment, Medicare, it's like another 6-7%, or?
Yes. I would say for classified, right now the total would be around 36-38%.
36-38. So every dollar costs $1.38.
Yes, exactly. With the CalPERS in there and the plus everything else. Unemployment, works comp, yeah. 38.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the trustees? Go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up with Gilbert's idea. Joyce answered the question reasonably, which is our annual expenses are being paid out of the general fund, pay as you go. And sort of separately, we're building this OPEB fund, which maybe someday in the future will have a different financial relationship, but it has nothing to do with our annual expenses. Did you want to have some deeper discussion about that structure? Sorry.
I think perhaps it may be good after we get the next actuarial report to see if it makes sense to have a conversation about that based on, to see what the two lines are and whether they're converging or not. And that's probably a good point in terms of perhaps having a conversation or a study session at some point after we get the actual data. And probably after the year closes, then we'll know whether we have a surplus or not. And we'll know what the contribution looks like according to a
formula. So we can make a note to look into that. Thanks.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Tom.
Thank you. Any other comments from the board? Any comments from the public on the interim budget revision, second interim budget revisions? I see none. Do we have a motion? Don?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll move to approve the 2023-24 second interim budget with positive certification.
Second. I'll second.
Motion by Don, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Joyce. And you are still on for item 3.5, the 2023-24 second interim budget revision board resolution 2024-4.
So this resolution 2024-04 is just to for the board to authorize me to make the budget revisions as I presented to our district budget. And the county requires that, so, and I recommend the board approve it. You will, the original copy will go to the county.
Thank you. Do any trustees have comments they'd like to share? Any members of the public that would like to comment on this board resolution? I see none. I move to approve resolution 2024-04, second interim budget revisions.
Second.
Second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Joyce. Thank you for your work. Let's move to item 3.6, Expanded Learning Opportunities Program Plan, 2023-24 update. Maureen.
for ELOC for this year.
Thank you, Maureen. Trustees with questions? Greg.
Maureen, I'm wondering with the projected, you may not know this, I'm asking if you've heard anything, with the projected $73 billion state budget deficit next year, I've heard rumors that ELOP may be on the either reduction or chopping block. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard anything about that yet. It will be interesting to see what they also do with, you know, ELOP was put in under, I believe it's Bill 130, mm-hmm. and to see if they make changes to that. If not, we still would be required
right.
to provide it for students who are free and reduced lunch, foster youth, you know, and so. And the other thing is, in the last, this is our third year of doing it, and the number of students who are eligible via foster youth free or reduced lunch or homelessness has increased
mm-hmm.
Significantly to where, you know, as I said, it's about 30 out of the 39.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Gilbert.
Yeah, I don't know if you know the answer to this between Maureen, Superintendent Carlomagno, as well as our CBO. Where in the budget do we cover this gap that may or may not happen, this $11,500 gap? Where within the budget might we see that?
General fund.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Do any members of the public that would like to comment on the ELOP update? I see none. This is an informational item. Thank you, Maureen. Okay, let's move to the consent agenda. Do any trustees want to pull something from consent agenda this evening? Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Gilbert, second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Let's move to item 5, public comments for items not on the agenda. Do any members of the public have comments on something not on the agenda? No? Okay. Thank you. We will now move to item 6, communications and board item discussions. Do any trustees have any communications to share? I have a couple dates that are coming up. Next week, there is both a West and a North Superintendent Coffee Principal Chat. West is Wednesday morning, 9 a.m., and North is Friday morning at 8:30. On March 25th, San Mateo CSBA is hosting their quarterly dinner. It is at the San Mateo Union High School District Office. It's not down in Redwood City. And that one is a dinner, 5:30, and then there's a program at 6:15, it is MTSS, specifically dyslexia, science of reading, and preparing for the universal screening for dyslexia. And our Jennifer Selma, our former Hillsborough school's parent, is going to be there with decoding dyslexia, and a number of leaders and dyslexia advocates from other districts and neighboring cities will be there. So that will be an interesting one. And then I wanted to share one more communication to the board and to the public. This is my fourth year of a four-year term on the board. And so I wanted to announce that I intend to run for another term in the election. So I look forward to the opportunity to continue the good work with this great team. Any other communications from the board? I see none. All right. So, I'm sorry, Luann, yes.
I just want to check in with the trustees if we could find a date, a possible special board meeting, so that as HTA moves forward in ratifying their contract, I'm hoping that we might have a date before our April 17th board meeting where we could possibly vote to approve the contract. So if the trustees could maybe check their calendars. And I didn't have it on my list because I always do my list ahead of time for the superintendent report, but I just want to say, you know, thank you to HTA and CSEA for the incredible collegiality in working towards coming to a three-year contract. And we finished with HTA. I look forward to the work with CSEA, but it's really a powerful partnership and just super thankful for the work that goes into it from our team and from our labor partners. So thank you so much. I know Greg will have more to say later. Anyway, can we look for possible dates maybe? Trustee when? Danis? My understanding was that from Sarah that you would be looking perhaps on March 21st to have conversations with your teachers. So I'm thinking sometime after March 21st. Would that be reasonable?
After March 21st, before spring break.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The possible.
Okay, so the week of the 25th.
The week of.
Spring break starts on.
Yes.
The first, right?
And Joyce, is there anything specific that you need for the business end of this in terms of dates before the end of March?
It would be really helpful because that will give us Leilani, me, and Kim time to update a position control, upload all the updated salary schedules, and then giving Kim to audit the payroll before the retro takes place.
We won't need a long time. So, Trustee Danis, do you have a suggestion maybe?
Is this an evening?
We could do it whenever the board's pleasure. It's generally a one item agenda, so it shouldn't take very long at all.
Okay.
Could we do that in the morning perhaps, or what time is good for you? Trustees?
Afternoon is open for me on the 28th.
4 o'clock? Does that work? Okay, and I could check in with Trustee Wong Chen.
Okay. Gilbert, does that work for you?
4 o'clock on the 28th.
Dawn, looks good. Okay. And actually, while we have that calendar week open, I should mention that Tuesday the 26th is the Battle of the Books final round at West at 6 p.m. Not to be missed. Okay, 4 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We will now move to item 7, public comments concerning closed session items. Do any members of the public have comments concerning closed session items? I see none. We will adjourn the meeting at 6:59 p.m.